This song goes out to every person that truly loves Bahrain. You see, no matter where you at, this kingdom needs all of us right now. Let me talk to you. Bahrain, let's stop this fight and let's unite. Let's put our hands together, let's make.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Rasul Nafisi, who's an academic and Middle East expert. His latest book is The Rise of the Pastoran, a monograph on the social, political, and economic roles of the Guardians of the Revolution in Iran. And he will soon publish another book called The Cultures of the Middle East. He contributes to Jain's Islamic Digest and Jain's Intelligence Digest, and is quoted in today's New York Times suggesting Bahrain may become a battleground between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Welcome to Background Briefing, Rasul Nafisi.
Thank you, sir.
And the full quote in the New York Times is that you say that now that the Saudis have gone in, they may spur a similar reaction from Iran, and Bahrain becomes a battleground between Saudi and Iran, and this may prolong the conflict rather than put an end to it and make it an international event rather than a local uprising. That sounds like a really kicking the hornet's nest, doesn't it?
Yes, it is. Bahrain is a very sensitive area to the United States Fifth Fleet, to Saudi Arabia, and to Iran. And now what seems to be happening is that intervention that some people expected to occur some months ago, and especially the idea that Saudi Arabia will occupy Bahrain militarily, was around at least for the last couple of weeks, and it materialized. And that's sort of understandable, because Saudi Arabia is very worried about its own Shiite contingency in Ghatif, in the in northeastern part especially, where the oil fields are. And they want to stop the spread of Shiite movement. And that's understandable why they intervene in Bahrain. But most often, wars and conflicts and interventions are easy to start, but the consequences are unpredictable, and I'm afraid that consequences of this intervention would be dire for the region.
Well, Rasul Nafisi, I spoke recently with a journalist with the only independent newspaper in Bahrain, and she was saying that the ruling family were, to her mind, being counterintuitive and counterproductive in using state media to stir up sectarian divisions between the Sunni minority and the Shia majority. And she is a Sunni, but recognizes that the Shia have legitimate complaints and that the royal family should be addressing these complaints, not cracking down. And she felt the Saudis were forcing their hand as well. So, you know, recently the Secretary of Defense Gates told the King of Bahrain that it's not a good idea to have these baby steps, he called them, in terms of reform. You really got to reform, otherwise you're going to lose control of this situation, as was witnessed in recently in Egypt. What is wrong with these people, these royals? Are they so reactionary that they can't see the writing on the wall?
I put myself in the shoes of Sultan of Bahrain, and they are in a precarious situation. They have been ruling the island for almost two centuries, and now they are facing the situation where Iran is increasing in power. The local Shiite majority become aggressive. The United States is there and is demanding some kind of reform. But where do you start the reform? Because in reality, if they allow a authentic democracy or some sort of democracy emerge, Shiites will win. If they don't, they will end up in the situation that they are in right now. So it is not easy to say where the reform should start, because by any meaningful reform, the Sunni minority will go down. Now, on the other hand, if you look at the situation of the Shiites, they seem to be having very legitimate claims, they have been not treated justly. On the other hand, when I look at the statement by their leaders, like you know, Sheikh Isa Hassan or others, there is a inherently radical demand for a so-called democracy, meaning the rule of the Shiites. And concomitant with that is a call for Sharia law. And those are pretty scary thoughts or words, especially considering the fact that the very influential Sheikh Isa Qasim is also a proponent of the type of regime that exists in Iran. And so all of these combined, when the U.S. authorities asked for reforms, I'm not sure as where the reforms are supposed to start.
Well, let's begin with whether or not, for example, the Shia in Bahrain, they're Arabs, they're not Iranians, right?
Well, Shia in Bahrain actually composed of three different ethnicities, Iraqi ethnicity, Persian ethnicity, and indigenous. And 10-15% actually speak Farsi. And but their loyalty, it seems to be more towards Iran, especially because they are in such a deep and long conflict with the Sunni majority, Sunni minority. And what they are, especially the eyewitnesses told me, that now in villages near Manama, there are pictures of the leaders of Iran and leaders of Lebanese Hezbollah are hanging from the walls, large posters. And that sort of tells me that it is not exactly like what is reflected in, for example, the WikiLeaks documents. In WikiLeaks documents, we read that the assessment is Iranians are not involved. But whether or not it's a spiritual influence or real influence, I'm not sure, but certainly there's a tremendous influence, especially if you look at the point of view of the most influential of the clerics, meaning Sheikh Isa Qasim, they are pro-Iranian. So I imagine in a very situation, in very possible situation, either that's a revolutionary or reform, Iran will have a lot more influence in Bahrain than it has today.
Well, though, Razul Nafisi, wouldn't it also follow that if the Saudis, and they do they not have a problem with their indigenous Shia in the oil-producing region? Isn't there a certain amount of discrimination, not the least of which is religious?
Yeah, of course they do. I mean, there are some hundreds of thousands of Shiites, especially in the Qatif area, and they are pretty much discriminated. Actually, they are discriminated against much more than they are in Bahrain, because Bahrain is not pushing their religion, meaning Sunni religion, on Shiites. But Wahhabi Saudis are pushing their religion on Shiites and opening Sunni schools in their area, as they are opening Sunni schools, meaning madrasas, Wahhabi madrasas, in Bahrain as well. And so you're absolutely right. There's more oppression in Saudi Arabia and resistance too in Saudi Arabia. But the point I'm raising is, if you look at the whole geopolitics of the Persian Gulf, and if you look at the players, what I'm trying to say is, when the United States is asking for reform, I wonder where the reform should start, to not allow more influence to Iranians or their proxies or their allies. That's the point I'm raising.
Sure, but I suspect what Gates had in mind was a little more inclusion and a little less repression. I mean, let's not go back to the 7th century and argue about the Shia being heretics.
Well, of course. The trouble is, now, after a few people were killed and after the international community is paying attention to what's going on in Bahrain, the Shiite majority is now interested in negotiations. And they are asking for full-scale reform and removal of the Al-Khalifa family. Well, that's a problem. Now, it could have, I mean, reforms could have started maybe some time ago. But right now, reforms would be revolutionary in consequence. In other words, the first steps towards any time, any type of meaningful reform would end up in a larger scale upheaval in Bahrain. And that's something that would not benefit very many people in that area.
Well, again, I'm speaking with Middle East expert Rasul Nafisi. Well, it would seem, though, that if the heavy hand comes down and there's more repression and riots, etc., already Iran has condemned the intervention of Saudi Arabia. This would seem to be playing right into the hands of the Revolutionary Guard Corps regime of Ahmadinejad, who's got his own problems at home with the restive green movement. This is perfect for him, isn't it? This is a way to get everybody to unite around his unpopular regime, because the hated Saudis are beating up their co-religionists.
Absolutely. The Iranian regime has been sitting and watching the upheaval in the Muslim world, and then sort of bragging that they are not going through the same, although they are. Now, the important thing is for them to make a Bahraini situation issue, of course, would help the domestic issues as well, meaning they can claim that, you know, Saudi Arabia is doing such and such to their co-religionists, it's time to get involved and so forth. And in reality, overall, the Iranian regime thrives on chaos, and they enjoy chaos, no matter where it is, except in their own land. So basically, I imagine by creating chaos in Bahrain or the ongoing problem there, they would really be happy to see the situation prolonged. So I'm afraid that, I don't want to be too pessimistic, that, but some sort of Lebanese scenario, Lebanese-type scenario, may usher in that part of the Muslim world too, and that would be the most disastrous for many people, especially for the United States Fifth Elite and the military school they have in Bahrain, and 5,000 people who are stationed there. So I think that we are facing with a very precarious situation, and I'm not sure that the United States leadership is quite leading or they know exactly what's happening there.
But is there ever any evidence yet, Rasul Nafisi, of a Hezbollah-type organization in Bahrain? Obviously, Hezbollah is a successful foreign policy surrogate of the Iranian regime, and they've had considerable success in Lebanon, where they now are pretty much in control.
I am told that in his return from London, the leader of the Shiites of Bahrain stopped over in Lebanon for 4 days. This is the only thing that I have heard, and I have not read, actually. So if that is true, it seems to be that he went there for some advice and instruction. Now, in terms of physical evidence, as I said, and is also reflected in WikiLeaks documents, it seems to be nothing tangible that you can put your hands on. But there's every circumstantial evidence that Iran is very influential in the region. Also, I heard that large cache of weapons was found lately in Bahrain. Again, this is something that I heard from people related to the Bahraini embassy in Washington.
Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time here, but I thank you so much for joining us here in Los Angeles, Rasul Nafisi.
You're very welcome.
Again, I've been speaking with Rasul Nafisi, who is an academic and Middle East expert. His latest book is The Rise of Pashtaran, a monograph on the social, political, and economic roles of the guardians of the revolution in Iran. And he will soon publish another book called The Cultures of the Middle East. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back with further discussion on rising tensions in the Gulf.
كبيرة يا البحرين